I have preached on this subject and even used some of these scripture, but I feel a fresh inspiration, and I desire the Lord to anoint it to each of us here today. I'm going to start with a scripture, Isaiah 45 and 11. And the verse says, "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One and his Maker, ask me, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me." Well, I've sort of skipped around in that verse just a little bit because I want you to get the meat of it. I didn't want us to get sidetracked in any other words except the key words of this particular verse. When I read this and have read it and have studied it, I find that it is inserted in a chapter that speaks of other things. It's almost like that we're going along reading different things. I'm going to give you some of the points that I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden, this verse is inserted. It's almost like it's out of context with the other verses. So what do we find in this chapter? We find verse 2 that says, "I will go before thee. I will make the crooked places straight." Now he's telling us what he's going to do for us. The next verse says, "I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places." A whole message in itself. You skip on down and you find that he begins to reveal himself as to who he is and what he is. Verse 7 says, verse 6, last part, "I am the Lord, and there is none else." Verse 7, "I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all of these things." Now, this is not the kind of evil that you and I think about. There is a reference on that particular word in one of my other Bibles, and it says that it is, let me see where I wrote it down, calamity. He sometimes allows calamities in our life. And that's what the song was really saying to us. That he is the God of the mountain. He's the God in the valley. He's the God of the good times. He's a God of the bad times. Well, he tells us, "I'm going to go before you. I'm going to make the crooked places straight. I'm going to give thee the treasures of darkness, but I want you to remember I'm God. I am the one true God. I create the light. I am the one that does all of these things. There's no other God like me." And then he comes down and he says, this is what I'm saying, "Command ye me the works of my hands." God is a creator. All things come by him and through him. All things are with him. He created all of the universe. He spoke it into existence. We call that the works of his hands. And when we consider, we go down to verse 12, I believe, on past this, he says, "I have made the earth. I created man upon it. I even my hands." My hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I have directed his ways. This is our God. Our God is a great God. And you and I have become acquainted with him. He tells us, acquaint thyself with thy maker. So we know who he is. We have an idea of what he does, of his mighty works, the works of his hands. He is our maker. So we go back to verse 9, and then there's a woe that is pronounced. And verse 9 says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. And then the latter part of that verse is, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Well, we go then and we think about a woe that is pronounced upon those who will strive with this God. And we consider then when he says, I want you to command the works of my hands. It almost sounds like he is God. I'm telling you what he does, what I can do, but I don't want you to presume upon me as God. But I want you to come before me, and I want you to command the works of my hands. So it's as though this is just inserted here. He's a holy God. In another place, we know, he said right here, he said, ask of me. And concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. You and I are just servants. It seems out of place in some ways that he would give you and me permission to command him. But I believe that it's a balance. Over in the New Testament, a scripture that would coordinate with this one, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. I want to emphasize this word boldly. This word is a Greek word, and it was frequently used in ancient times to mean freedom of speech. One that speaks his mind with great confidence. This word boldly also meant frankness. Now, if you will hold all of these thoughts together, I believe we'll be able to come to the sense of the message today. So you and I are commanded to come boldly to the throne of grace. What are we doing when we come boldly to the throne of grace? We're approaching God. We're approaching the Lord God, the creator of the ends of the earth, the great and the mighty God, the fearful God. Yes, he's a fearful God. He says in one place, behold the goodness what's the rest of that verse? Severity. God is a good God, but he does allow calamities. He has severe places that he allows in our life. So we come before him. What are we doing? We're coming in prayer. We should never come before him in timidity. You should never come before the Lord with doubts and fears, and faithless. You wouldn't want to come before a great God who can do all of these things for us and be shy about it. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace. We shouldn't come before God with doubts and fears. We'll get nowhere if we're coming before God in doubt and fears and timid and faithless. Now there's another way we should never come before God. We should never come before God and presume upon God. We should not be presumptuous. We should not overstep our bounds. The scripture tells us to respect God, to honor God. And we should never come before God with self-confidence. We should never come before God in arrogance, expect Him to do it simply because I ask. We should always come before God with honor and respect and faith. So God gives permission now. And what is that permission? He gives us authority that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. The spirit in which He asks for us to come before Him must be a spirit of humility and humbleness of mind and humbleness of spirit, in that we recognize that God is God and we are His subjects and we are His children and we are His servants. And in reality, you might read that scripture and say, oh, I could never command God's hands. But He wants us to. He wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace, and He wants us to work with Him, and that He will work with us. Thank the Lord. Now I'm going to Isaiah, first chapter and verse 18. And this is a little portion of a verse I'm going to insert here. In some ways it may be a little out of context, but I believe it can get our thought together. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now, if it didn't say the Lord said this, I might put a little less emphasis on this particular phrase. But the Lord wants you and me to not only command the works of His hands, not only come boldly to the throne of grace, but He wants you and me to come before Him with reasons. He wants us to reason with Him. Now, I'm certainly not preaching a doctrine where you and I can change His mind, where we can change His doctrine. That has nothing to do with what we're saying here this morning, for the Word of God is eternally set. The Word of God will endure forever. You and I will never change the Word of God. The scripture over in Revelation tells us if we add to it, then there will be a curse added to us. If we take away from it, there will be a pay that I will have to pay if I try to take away from the Word of God. So what we're saying here this morning has nothing to do with us trying to change God's mind. But I believe that God wants you and me to come not only boldly, but He wants us to be able to commune with Him. He wants us to be able to talk with Him, pour out our heart before Him, make our requests known unto Him. Let's go to Isaiah now, 41 and 21. And this is what it says in that verse. Let's try to connect it together. It says, produce your strong cause. Now the reference on that is case. Produce your strong case. saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. So again, he's not only saying, I want you to come and command the works of my hands. I not only want you to come boldly to the throne of grace, I want you to come and reason with me, and I want you to bring your strong reasons, and I want you to produce your strong case. And the Lord says for us to do it. Okay. All of the things that we have spoken of comes under the very subject of prayer. I feel like that you and I and the church has been in a time of praying. We may not be realizing it, but we're commanding the works of God's hands. We're coming boldly. We're bringing our strong reasons, and we're being reasonable with God, asking him to be reasonable with us. And so when we think about prayer and praying, we would pray in faith. We're praying in hope, but we must pray also with expectations. We must expect God, because he has said all of these things by his own mouth. And now we need to expect God to answer our prayers. So I want to think about the kind of prayers that intercessory prayers would be. Over in Isaiah 59, verses 14 through 16, it says this, and I'm just going to give you a part if you're reading it there. It says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar, for the truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth fallen, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment." And then he said, "And I saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor." Now we know what he's talking about here. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became an intercessor for all of mankind. The scripture says that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me and for all people. But he is looking now for one that will stand in the gap in this world. He says, "I want a man that will stand in the gap." And I couldn't find one. I want a man that will be able to pray an intercessory prayer for others. Now let's talk a little bit about intercession. What's the difference between just praying and having an intercessory prayer? Well, we'll speak on prayer first. Prayer is necessary. You and I automatically or should naturally be inclined to pray. If we are a child of God, if we are saved, if we are serving the mighty God, we have knowledge and understanding that we are commanded to pray. Now, there are prayers that are just our request. And his word says, "Make your request known unto God." So when we pray, we're coming before the Lord, giving him or saying to him what the desires of our heart. "Lord, I ask you to help me here. I ask you to do this for me." And so that's part of our prayer. It's we come before the Lord, with gratitude, with thanksgiving. We should thank God first. We should come before, make all of our requests known with thanksgiving. So they go together. To give him the desire of my heart, I must look back and consider all of the things that the Lord has done for me in the past. He's been a gracious God, and we can trace him. We have tasted of his goodness. He said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that his mercy endureth forever." And so we have tasted of his goodness. So when I get down and I call upon the Lord and I make my request known, I should begin to look back and count my blessings. Oh, the Lord has been so good. So that's part of our prayer. Prayer is also done with worship. When you worship the Lord, when you give praise unto God, this is what prayer is all about. But intercessory prayer is another aspect, a different level of prayer. This word intercede, it comes from a Latin word that says to go between. And then it says another definition is making petition or entreaty in favor of another with authority, or bearing a burden for someone else. So when we make intercessory prayer, we're not only praying for our request, but we are making requests known unto God for someone else. Now, 1 Timothy gives us a scripture that says, 1 Timothy 2 and 1, and it says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." So we have a obligation, if we are a child of the King, that we learn how to intercede for other people. We need to know what it means to supplicate. That's probably a whole different subject. But we must learn how to intercede for all men in this life. Jesus is interceding for us. He wants men and women and young people to learn how to pray for others and to intercede and get in touch with him and be able to command the works of his hands. He wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace. He wants us to present our strong reasons. He wants us to present our cases before him. And he is inviting us to not be timid, but to come before him with expectations. Thank the Lord. Now, not everyone can make intercessory prayers. And this is a key. The scripture says in James the 5th chapter verse 16, "The effectual, fervent prayer of who? The righteous. It availeth much." Now, we could produce a number of scriptures. I've had a study on it before. That God hears the prayers of his people. He hears the prayers of the righteous. There is a scripture that where the man over in the Gospels was healed. He was a cripple from his mother's womb. He sat at the gate beautiful, begging alms. And he was healed. He leaped and walked and, or was he the one that was blind? And Jesus healed him. And he was interrogated by the Jews in the temple. And they tried to tell him that Jesus was a sinner. And he said, we know that God doth not hear a sinner's prayer.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So it's not that a sinner cannot pray. It's not that you and I determine whose prayer God will hear. He's looking on the heart. He's judging the heart. But there are people that are not righteous. In other words, you can see on Facebook, somebody might put on there a request that they need prayer. And there will be this one and that one and this one. I will pray for you. And they're not in a position to pray an intercessory prayer. They can pray for themselves. They can pray a prayer of repentance, but they have to be in a special place in order for God to hear your prayer for someone else. You can pray for yourself, but you're not free. You are not qualified to pray for other people. So that is one of the problems that we have in this world, is that there are people that believe they can live any way they want and still pray for others. They can pray for themselves. Remember that. We're not limiting God in hearing man's prayers. But it's the righteous. It's the prayer of the righteous. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous that availeth much. Now, what he hears the prayer of those that are humble, of those that are godly, of those that fear God, of those that keep his commandments. He does make a difference when it's his children. The scripture says that this is the seal of God, that he knoweth everyone that belongeth to him. So this is an intercessory prayer. Now, if you go to the 32nd chapter of Genesis, we're going to find out how a man can have power with God and a man can have power with men. And this is the part here where it was Jacob, and Jacob was wrestling with God. And in the 28th verse, it says this, God changed his name. He wrestled all night. He would not turn loose. He wanted the blessing that God had for him personally. The scripture says that he was, he received a new name, that his name would no longer be Jacob. Jacob represented a supplanter, somebody that was a deceiver. He had a reputation of being a deceiver. He lived up to his name. But God said, I'm going to change your name. Your name from now on will be Israel. And then it said, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. So do you want to be one that is an intercessor? A one that is able to pray the effectual, fervent prayer that availeth much? Wrestle with God. Let God wrestle with you. Let God search your life. Let him be the potter of your life. Let him shape you and mold you and fashion you. Give your heart and your life, give your will to God. Let him form you into a vessel of honor. I've been thinking of that phrase for some time, how that God is desiring his people to be vessels that will honor him.
Amen.
We're not doing it for reputation.
Amen.
We're not doing it so we'd have the praise of man, God forbid, but that God's name will be lifted up. I believe that we've had a little exhortation and prayer meeting recently on doing it for God to be praised. And all of these burdens that we've been bearing before the Lord at our prayer time, I believe it's for the sole purpose that God's name be lifted up. Thank the Lord. So Jacob here, as a result of him wrestling with God and God wrestling with him, something happened. His life was changed. He received a new name, and now he has power with God and power with men. And you and I can have power with God.
Amen.
The scripture says that if we our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence. But if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our than us. He knows if we are guilty within our very being. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. He's a discerner of even the intentions. And he knows when our intentions are turned toward him in purity and in righteousness and seeking those things that are above and not the things of the earth. We don't want to seek after the flesh, in other words. The scripture says when we walk after the flesh, we'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if we walk after the Spirit, we'll fulfill the things of the Spirit. Thank the Lord. God is calling for us to be men and women that will have power with him. That we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can command the works of his hands, not in a presumptuous way, but in a way of humility, of making our requests known to God, of coming and saying, Lord, consider. You know, when we have been praying for Brother Michael, that's what we've been doing. We've been saying, Lord, consider the LaRonger congregation. Consider his family. Consider this need and that need. That's asking him to work with his hands. Now his will, we do not pray against his will. We pray for the will of the Father that's pleasing unto him. But when you and I come before him and bring our case, and we bring our strong words, what we're doing is trying to say, Lord, consider, and let this be the works of your hands. You know, we've said this, and you've heard it. You've been using it too. A message that was preached here many years ago, it never left my mind, but the message was on for the Lord to work where no man can work. That's asking him, commanding the works of his hands. I want to tell you something, intercessory prayer, not just even for that, but when the Lord puts a burden on your heart for someone, he wants us to pray. He wants us to intercede. I read a place just recently, today, I believe it was this morning. This woman was driving down the highway, and all of a sudden, she just burst out in tears, and she had a heavy burden for a friend. And she was weeping so that she couldn't see to drive. She pulled over to the side of the road and she began praying for this man, weeping for some time. I can't remember how long. And pretty soon her tears stopped. A little bit later, you know what she found out? That friend of hers was standing at the edge of a building to take his life. And he said, he told her about it. He said, there was a hand that pushed him back. Now, what made the difference? It was somebody that had power with God. Somebody that touched the throne of grace. Somebody that was able to command the works of his hand. And it was the hand of God that saved that man. That's just one case, and we don't know how many people are saved because somebody prayed an intercessory prayer for somebody's life. It can be things such as that. It can be things such as physical, such as we're praying for the different ones on our list. Let's be encouraged. Now, those of you that were reading or saw on our little WhatsApp group here, I had to remind us, you have to pray for yourself first. For you to have that kind of faith, for you to have the authority. God gives us authority. He gives us authority over Satan. He gives us authority in prayer. That we can pray the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. Wrestle with God for yourself first. Pray for your own soul first. Then you can go before the Lord with confidence as you intercede for anyone else. Thank the Lord. Did you know that our prayers are vital? You might say, well, God can do it. Why do we have to tell him to do it? It's because he desires us to. He wants us to be interested in others and pray for others. And he wants us to command the works of his hands. You've heard me tell this story. This little story made such a difference in my life. It was a portion of a book that is a true story. The name of the book is I Dare to Call Him Father, and it was a woman that was a Muslim, strong Muslim. And God was able to get a hold of her heart and her life and save her to the uttermost. She had faith in God. She had a dream one time, and I often thought as I read this book, I felt like this was the little piece of that book that I needed to never forget. She had this dream that she was in a room and there was a woman that had cancer on the bed. There was a nurse that was sitting beside her, and this woman that was dreaming this dream stood there and said, what am I to do here? And she looked up and she saw Jesus in the corner of the room. And she ran to worship him. And she said, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to pray for her. And she went over, and in her dream she prayed for the woman, and in her dream the woman was healed. But when she woke up the next day and she meditated on the dream, she said to herself, why did Jesus want me to pray for her when he was right there? And the word came to her is that your prayers are vital to God. In other words, your prayers will command the works of his hands, but he needs you and me to have faith and pray. and make the intercedings that will help his works, the works of his hands. So that's our little message this morning. I believe the Lord is wanting to awaken us more to the necessity of prayer. I believe what our little congregation is going through right now, I believe what the church is going through across the nation, is good for us. It's putting us on our knees. It's been good for us to have specific times to pray, to have specific burdens to pray. I believe the Lord is preparing us. So this morning, let's be encouraged. Let's wrestle with God. Let's allow Him to wrestle with us. Allow Him to purge us, purify us, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that you and I may have power with God and with man, that we may be able to come before the Lord with confidence, that we may be able to have faith and expectations that He hears our cries and He will work. It may not be just when we want it to be, but you and I are also commanded to wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. And He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Pray for me.